I'm going to start off with a very profound statement. The Nile is not just a river in Egypt. Denial is a refusal to admit or accept the truth or reality of something. Has anybody ever been in denial? Anybody ever been in Egypt? Okay, more denials than Egypt. Well, today's teaching from Matthew's gospel explores the themes of things like this: betrayal, arrogance, human frailty, fulfillment of prophecy, and as you can guess, it's the title of today's message, denial. Denial can be a conscious or unconscious refusal to accept reality. It can involve rejecting the truth of a statement or situation. Rejecting the truth. I know I've shared this in church before over the last few years because I stumbled across a new word some years ago. It's actually in the dictionaries today, and the word is post-truth. Post-truth. And the meaning of that word is that facts don't matter. In fact, it's feelings over facts is what post-truth means. And if you look around our culture, our society, we are living in a post-truth culture. You can lay out the facts for someone, and it's like, no, I feel that that's not right. Well, here it is. The sky is blue. For me, it's green. To go on about denial, it can even be to deny one's own feelings or desires. Denial can be a response to an uncomfortable or threatening situation, helping the situation or helping the individual deal with the emotional stress behind all that. So today in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to pick up on covering Peter's denial of Jesus and Jesus's prediction that he'll do that. So that's where we're going to start. Matthew 26, verse 31 to start with, and it's 31 through 35 for this first part. It says in 31, on the way, well, and let me stop right there because it doesn't tell us on the way what. If you remember last week or the verses just prior to where we're starting here, where were the disciples and Jesus? Well, they were in the upper room. They were having supper. We call it the Last Supper. They're done with their meal. It's late at night. Now they're heading to the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is about a little over a half mile outside of Jerusalem. So this Matthew records this. He says, on the way to the Mount of Olives, Jesus told them, again the disciples, he says this, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, capital S, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Jesus was actually quoting prophecy when he said that from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, about the shepherd being struck down and the sheep scattering. And he applies this to himself and his disciples, saying that they will flee when he gets arrested. Now Jesus continues telling his disciples, now starting in verse 32. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Well, Peter declared, he says, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. And Jesus calmly replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, even before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. Peter immediately and boldly says, no, that's not right. Peter insisted, saying, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And then after hearing Peter say all that, the rest of the disciples says, yeah, we agree too. They all vowed the same. So in other words, we're covering Peter's denial of his denial that's getting ready to come. Well, all the disciples declared that they would die before denying Jesus. However, only within just a few hours, they all scatter. They scatter like marbles rolling down a tilted floor. You know, talk is cheap. I think we've all heard that phrase. We've probably said that phrase. We can easily affirm our devotion to Jesus. In fact, right here in this place, in these walls, You can talk about Jesus all day long and you'll get lots of support and encouragement and feedback, and they'll talk to you about Jesus too. But step out of these four walls, and affirming Jesus can be a little more challenging for some. To talk about Jesus at school, at work, in the neighborhood. But the thing of it is, our claims are meaningful, our claims of affirming our devotion to Jesus, the claims are only meaningful when they are tested in adversity. So the question we can ask of all of us, I'll ask myself as well, how strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? Is your faith strong enough to stand up under an intense trial? Well, the answer is this. Some of you already know how strong your faith is because you've been through an intense trial or testing. Maybe you're going through it even right now. And then others of you will find out in the future because there's a test at a trial waiting for you as well. So you only know how strong your faith is when it's tested. Bottom line. This passage reveals the disciples' human weakness. It reveals their inability to live up to their own cocky declarations of loyalty in the face of adversity. It also demonstrates Jesus' foreknowledge and fulfillment of prophecy. Now, that's a lot of negative news about the disciples. But maybe it's a little negative news about us, too, when we've experienced our own human weakness that's caused us to deny Jesus in some way or another. Well, let's get back to the disciples, and specifically, let's get back to Peter. Now, first, to let you know, I'm going to skip over many of the next verses in Matthew, but we'll pick them up at a later teaching. Just suffice it to say that several things happened between the time the disciples said they would never betray Jesus and this very next event that I'm going to cover in Matthew, starting with verse 69. In fact, what's going to happen is Jesus will spend time in prayer in Gethsemane. Judas will betray him with a kiss, and then Jesus will be arrested. We're going to cover all that in the future. But right now, let's pick up the story of Peter in verse 69 through 75. 69 says this. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over to him and said, "You were one of those with Jesus, the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Denial number one. Big, tough Peter was afraid of a girl. Was this girl into competitive weightlifting? Was that the reason? Was she just coming out of a judo class? I mean, what's the deal here? Well, verse 71, let's see what happens next. It says, later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. And here's what he said, "I don't even know the man." Denial number two. And girl number two. What was it about these servant girls that made them appear so tough? So tough that a professional fisherman with arms the size of Popeye would be afraid of. Where's olive oil when you need her, I guess. Well, now on to verse 73 and 74. A little later. So all these things are happening in progression. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." And Peter swore this. He said, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't even know the man." And immediately, the rooster crowed. Isn't it ironic that the rooster revealed Peter as a chicken? Denial number three. At least this time it was with a group of people. maybe some men included among those servant girls. Well, here's the last verse for today, 75. Suddenly, after Peter heard the rooster, suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind when Jesus told him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And that must have just sunk in for a little while. And then Matthew records this. He says, "And then Peter went away, weeping bitterly." How could someone be so bold one minute and only a few hours later be scared to death of some little girls, of a small group of people? I mean, was that it? Was he scared to die? Was he afraid that if he identified as a follower of Jesus, that he would be arrested or even killed? Well, just a quick look at Peter's denial. It was really in three stages. Quickly, the first stage was he acted confused and he tried to divert attention away from himself by changing the subject. Nothing to see here. How about them bears? That type of thing. Second stage, he denied that he knew Jesus. Just flat out denied. In the third stage, he swore that he did not know Jesus. Here's an application for all of us to just have in our minds. Believers, and I'm probably talking about all of us, believers who deny Jesus often begin doing so subtly by pretending not to know him. When opportunities to discuss religious issues come up, they walk away or pretend they don't know enough information to have such conversations. And then with only a little more pressure, they can be induced to flatly deny their relationship with God. So here's the thing for us. If we find ourselves subtly diverting a conversation so that we don't have to talk about Jesus, I think the scriptures tell us, watch out. Watch out, because you may be on the road, like Peter, to denying Jesus. Well, Peter blew it. Peter blew it. Sometimes we blow it. I'll raise my hand, but you don't have to raise yours. Maybe you've blown it too. So now the question is there any hope of restoration? I mean, Peter and Jesus were just like that for a few years, every day, almost 24/7 together. And now this relationship, it seems completely broken. Was Peter, here's the question for us to ask, was Peter ever forgiven for denying Jesus? Was their relationship ever restored? And I can gladly give you the answer, which is yes, it was. Though he denied Jesus three times after the resurrection, he was restored to his discipleship and even given the task of shepherding the flock. This restoration demonstrates Jesus' forgiveness and mercy towards Peter. And you know what else? Remember I said that sometimes I've done wrong, maybe denying Jesus in some other way? It demonstrates Jesus' forgiveness and mercy towards me and you too. So let me finish up real quickly and recap these events. First, the denial. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times during Jesus' trial, as predicted by Jesus. Likewise, you and I may have at some time and in some way also denied knowing Jesus. Then there's the repentance. After the third denial, Peter wept bitterly, showing remorse and regret for his actions. Likewise, we always have the opportunity to repent of any of our actions that are not Christ-like, whether it be denial or something else. And remember what repentance is. It's turning from sin and turning to God. Then there's the restoration. After his resurrection, Jesus specifically sought out Peter and reinstated him as leader within the group, entrusting him with the care of his followers. This act of restoration is seen as a powerful display of forgiveness. Likewise, when we repent of our sins, Jesus will forgive us. The title of today's message is Denial. Next week, I'm going to go back over some other verses outside of Matthew that reinforce this restoration of the relationship between Jesus and Peter. In fact, it'll be called restoration. So there's more than what I'm just telling you today about this restoration process. Then there's the two more. There's the love. Eventually, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him, almost mirroring, I'd say exactly mirroring, the three denials. But Peter affirmed his love each time. Now, this exchange is seen as a way for Peter to publicly affirm his devotion and for Jesus to publicly forgive Peter. Likewise, Jesus may ask us if we love him. And when we say yes and sincerely mean it, he will say to us believers, well, then keep doing the work I called you to do. We're going to forget the past. In fact, in Psalms, there's a psalm that says, when God forgives our sins, he moves them as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far that is? You can't measure it. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south, because as we look at the planet, you can measure that distance. But from the east to the west, there's no measurement. So when God, when we repent and ask God, we tell him that we love him. He says, okay, let's wipe the record clean. And I want you to start from here and do the work I called you to do. Well, finally, here's the last one, the action. The restoration of Peter's role and the emphasis on love are understood as Jesus' way of showing that Peter's denial did not disqualify him from discipleship and that he was completely forgiven. You know, there's a likewise. Here it is. Likewise, Jesus is ready to restore us and continue to use us. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you think, you know what, I've done too much wrong, God could never use me. Well, that's a statement that's not true according to the Bible. Also, if you've come to Christ and you've been a Christian and you do something that is bad, you think God can't use you then? Well, that's not in the Bible either. God can continue to use us. Think about Peter when you think about that for your own life. Well, I'm going to finish up right now, but I want to finish a little different. Now that we've looked at denial, now that we've looked at all the process that Peter went through, I want us to take just a minute or so and spend time in prayer for you alone and me alone, just to focus on how are things with Jesus and I? How's our relationship? Is there anything that has caused it to be a problem? Have I done or said something that's looked upon like a denial of Jesus? Is there some sin I need to take to him today so we can get back on track again? Let's just go ahead and be in the spirit of prayer right now, and then I'll close with a prayer.